This show is brought to you by earpeeler.com.
Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Hey everybody, this is Ross the Boss, and you are listening to Radioactive Metal, the best on the internet, the best metal on the internet.
Horns up, metalheads. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Kareem, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a pullover, shithead. This is the Cops episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 502, and I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
And this is Aaron. And dear listeners, we are being sponsored tonight by True Cult Coffee. Do you know what True Cult Coffee sells, Rock?
Coffee?
And souls.
Oh.
Souls they possess to make the True Cult Coffee. Because their first roast, Cafe Storm, is a medium roast summoned from El Salvador. But New York Helvete is a dark roast from Nicaragua. So dark that New York Helvete means dark hell.
Damn.
Now, Snowy, you've been drinking. You've been drinking True Cult. Did you?
I'm very aware of it. Yes.
Or did you have Helvete?
He had the Cafe Storm because Helvete was not out yet when he got it.
Yeah.
All right. So in that case, you have not yet drank the blackest of coffees. You just had a black coffee.
I didn't have the ultimate black coffee. I had the penultimate black coffee, yes.
Oh, pentagram ultimate coffee?
Sure.
pentagram ultimate? There we go. I think we made
there
up a
we
new
go. Hey, I'm the one that makes up the words here.
Hey,
you got to get your own shtick.
Well, I got nothing. Anyway, so, ladies and gentlemen, Corrine has boasted about this coffee company. Snowy has boasted about this coffee company, and they now sell the blackest of all coffees, the Mio Calvete. So go to trvekvltcoffee.com to order yours today. Interact with them on the Insta pages at trve.kvlt.coffee, because that's where I hang out with Coffee Bean Occulta most of the time. You know, we send stuff back and forth. Fun dude. Good stuff.
Yep.
So drink some coffee and support the show, because if you're tuning in every week, I know you like it. I know you love to listen to Snowy ride my nuts like they're a championship racehorse, right? So So keep that alive and buy some coffee, right? That's all I got tonight. All right.
All right.
So what else is going on, you know?
And you can't go to Starbucks to get this. You can't go to Timmy Ho's to get this. This is, you know, this is coming from a true source, shall we say. So, yeah. A true Cavalt source. Yeah. I'm actually doing really well tonight. I kind of had a shitty day at work, but you know, it fuels the fire. It fuels the fire for a kick-ass weekend, starting with what I love to do with the people that I love to do with it. So, hey, it's good to hear from you guys. I hope your week was going as good as mine, and we got lots to talk about and all that. So what's going on?
Well, would you say that this is giving you fuel, giving you fire, giving you that which you desire?
And how are you doing, Rock?
Oh, boy. Reference number one.
Oh, yeah.
I'm okay. I'm broken record. You know how I am. I've had a hell of a week. There's one night that I slept more than 6 hours. So it's well, just. Shut up. I'm older than you.
6 hours is golden.
Well, for me, I need 7.5 to 8. So. But yeah, I mean, like, with WrestleMania last weekend, well, by the time you hear this, like, it was like 2 weeks ago. But, went to bed late for that. And then, and I'm busy season at the office. So I'm working overtime every day, pretty much, and long hours. And then Wednesday, I went to an NXT taping. And then the next day, on Thursday, I went to an MLW taping. So,
oh, wow.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So, just want to mention something real quick, and some of our listeners will appreciate this. I know that, the ones that are wrestling fans, I got to meet Bruce Pritchard, the Brother Love himself,
and
Tony Schiavone, the voice of WCW. So
when you sent a picture of you with Schiavone, like, that's the one I marked out for.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. It was funny because after I took the picture and stuff, I went back to with my friends and, and then because I was working early the next morning, I told my friends, okay, I got to go. I started walking and then I realized right in front of me was Bruce Pritchard and Tony Schiavone, and they were talking to each other as they were walking. And two things hit me. It's like, first of all, back in the day during the Monday Night War, those two would have been enemies. And it was just so weird to hear their voices. You know, it's like you have them right there. You know, it's like these guys, I watched them for years on TV and stuff. And it's just weird to just hear the voices, you know, and together, you know, talking to each other. So it was it was kind of cool. But one of the things I wanted also to mention from the wrestling this week, MLW, they just announced that they have a TV deal now, right? So the show that is going to start airing on TV on BN Sports. And the thing is that I don't think I'm ever going to see an episode unless they put them on YouTube or something, because BN Sports is on most of the cable packages, but it's on, you know, the high tier ones, the expensive ones, you know. Like for me, I have AT&T UVerse. I would have to get the most expensive package to get that channel. You know,
no, it sucks.
It's not worth it for me. But anyway, it was the first official taping for BN Sports. Yesterday, so they were kind of giving out a few promotional items and stuff. You know, like T-shirts, and they had a couple some posters they were giving away. But I got lucky. I got a Lucha mask.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Like the Mexican wrestlers?
Yep. They gave out a few of those, and I was one of the lucky ones to get one.
Have you worn it yet?
I wore it a little bit there. Well, okay, here's the thing. So there was a match, okay, and the winner was MJF, and he walks up right by the ramp, and I was sitting in my usual seat right by the ramp. And he walks past us, and then behind us was they started doing this yesterday where they actually were doing live interviews with an interviewer in the I was gonna say the arena, but it's a club, you know. So the girl was asking him questions, and you know, we were hearing the whole thing, you know. So while he was talking, I saw a little bit of commotion from the corner of my eye, because I mean, it was literally behind me, so I was completely turned around, and I kind of saw a little bit of commotion, and I saw somebody was handing out these masks. So I grab it and I'm like, oh, cool. You know, I'm looking at it. And then my friend taps me on the shoulder and he says, and he points at the girl who was giving him away, which by the way was Casey Lennox. She's an upcoming wrestler here, a local here in Orlando. And she will become somebody very big, because she is very good. And she looks just like Sasha Banks. Anyway. So, but she's looking at me. She's like, you know, signaling like, put it on. I'm like, I'm not putting it on. She says, you got to put it on if you want to keep it. I'm like, oh, okay. So I put it on. But I don't know. This thing's so hot. So then I realized after that, the reason why they were handing out these at that time was because right after the interview, we got a Lucha match, which was Pentagon and Rey Fenix.
Wow.
So nice. That's why. So I guess that they wanted people to wear them during the match. And some people did. I didn't wear it because it was too goddamn hot, but Yeah, so it's purple and silver. Looks really good.
Right on.
I think you need to post pictures of you wearing it for our Instagram page.
I intend to. I just haven't had a chance to do it.
At least some pictures for the Shining Wizards.
Yeah.
I think you should wear it to work tomorrow.
No.
Come on. Just picture they come up to you. For, never mind. We're good. You know.
Well, that may be a way to get out of a lot of shit.
Exactly. It might work. You know.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's how I'm doing.
Right on. Right on. Then, without further ado, we got a metric shit ton of shit to talk about, and I want to get to it right now.
Wander the streets living intense metal lives. Find out what we did in The Metal Fix.
So, someone, tell me something about what is going on in the metal, well, your metal world.
So, Aaron, what's your weekly Metallica fix?
I'm so glad you asked about my Metallica fix, because my Metallica fix this week is the 590 ADP was released and in long box, right? Mm-hmm. Re-released. Mm-hmm. So here's the revelation I came to, and Snowy, you're really going to appreciate this. Because if you realize, you know, it started, what, 2 years ago with Ride the Lightning and Kill 'Em All in the box sets, mm-hmm. and they keep putting out, like, these different, you know, reissues and Master Puppets and now the 590 ADP. And you realize Metallica's finally issuing the music that people want to buy. I was just thinking, I'm like, no wonder we're all excited. This is stuff we've been asking for years, like bring this stuff back. So, mm-hmm. but anyway, so that came out, but that's really not what I want to talk about. So, Rock, you introduced me to Dean Del Rey.
Yep.
And it's really changed my world, because, you know, he turned me onto the watches, and now I'm doing, you know, it back on my watch kick. And, he was a singer in a band, and he loves Bon Scott, AC/DC, has a Bon Scott tattoo. Well, he put together this amazing Bon Scott tribute just April 3rd. So obviously he's singing because he sounds just like Bon Scott. He gets a couple other, you know, big name comedians, Bill Burr, Mark Maron. They come and do comedy at the show, and then they put on the music. They did AC/DC's Powerage, full album, live, start to finish, right?
Wow, that's different.
Now, well, here's the killer part. On bass, he gets Nikki Sixx.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Uh-huh.
On guitar, and this was the big deal, because just, you know, maybe a couple months ago, this particular guitarist, and I'm a huge fan of, put up on his Instagram his Malcolm Young signature Gretsch that he finally got his hands on after years and years and years of wanting one. Like, mm-hmm. looks just like what Malcolm plays. Mm-hmm. Scott Ian on rhythm guitar.
Oh, wow.
Dude.
Nice.
And like the videos that Del Rey has up on his YouTube, badass. Oh my goodness. Like, if you close your eyes, you would seriously think it's AC/DC.
Oh, nice.
Like, they sound that good. Like, mm-hmm. they sound fantastic. So that's been a big part of it. I've been, kind of nerding out on that. And then I can't remember. And so I have to ask you guys, I know I've talked to you guys and talked in the group about it, but have I mentioned on this show the Eagles of Death Metal documentary?
I believe you did, yes.
See, I couldn't remember. Like, I wanted to, and I thought I wanted to do it around episode 500. And I can't remember if I talked about it last week.
Yeah, so, you did. You did.
Did I really? Okay, good. Yeah. Well, in that case, we can skip that one. And then the last thing is, so Slayer, Diabolos in Musica.
Diabolos.
Diabolos, right. So I'm, you know, hey.
I got to correct you too now, Jesus.
Pretty much. but anyway, so I've been listening to it. Right. And we had I think I read about it in Disciple magazine, but
what?
Wait, Diabolos, Disciple magazine, right? You can tell Rock's tired this week.
Yes.
But so I've been listening to this record because it's the record that nobody really talks about. And so I wanted to put it on, because I remember when it came out, like, really digging the tracks on it and that sort of stuff. And I got to say this. I love Tom Araya. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Araya.
Shit, I was way off.
Mm-hmm.
But
Snowy's rubbing off on you.
Are you sure that's right?
Araya. Tom Araya.
Yeah, but
yeah,
see,
I've always said Araya or Araya.
But I thought that Jose Mangan pronounced it Araya.
Well, he may say it in the Spanish, yeah.
Well, yeah, but then that would be correct since he is Spanish, you know, Colombian. But anyway, so Tom's voice on that record is like just fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. Like that is literally, I think, some of the best vocals I've ever heard from him. But I'll tell you, like, you know, we were talking about, like, about the new metal and all this sort of stuff. There's a few tracks I like to call through metal because it's like thrash and new metal. Like it's obviously like a new metal groove, what would have been going on at that time in music. Mm-hmm. But then they just break into something that is so unmistakably Slayer, it's ridiculous.
See, I just don't hear the new metal in it at all.
Oh, so did you ever listen to Cold Chamber?
Nope.
I did, yep.
All right, so the first Cold Chamber record, fucking amazing, right?
And very, Cold Chamber very, just, very new. Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely new metal. I loved it. I love the first Cold Chamber record, love the first Limp Bizkit record. Korn, like, I still go back and forth. Sometimes I love those first two records. Sometimes I never want to hear them. But, I mean, like, there was some really good stuff that came out. But Cold Chamber had this groove, and I can't remember the name of the song, but Slayer absolutely copies this groove. Like it was part of that new metal kind of thing they were doing. So it's those things. I'll have to find the song on the thing again, because I was thinking it'd be fun for us to, you know, since Slayer is winding down, it'd be fun to maybe do a show where we talk about the least talked about Slayer record, because, you know, it's kind of so controversial, still gets people's dander up.
What year did that come out? 98.
Oh, that was definitely 90s. Yeah,
98.
Okay. Yeah, that was one of those records. Like, I don't remember very much of it. I remember now more about the so-called controversy about it being new and all this. But at the time, I don't know. I don't know when I first bought it and I played it and all that. I didn't hear any new metal. It's not a record that I spent a lot of time with, and it kind of came and went, and I don't know. I guess I'm going to have to revisit it again and all that, because, like I said, all of a sudden now, literally years later, and no one was saying this back then, but years later, like, all the elitists are pissing and moaning about it. Oh, it's new. It sounds like fucking Korn and all that. I'm like, I don't think so. And it's the same thing with Machine Head and all that, and the Sepultura roots. That's new metal and all that. And it's like, I never heard that with, well, maybe the Burning Red, the third Machine Head record, they started to move into the whole new thing. But I've had people say, you know, like, oh, those first two Machine Head albums are total new. And I'm like, what? What I hear is an extension of San Francisco Bay Area thrash.
Yeah.
That's what I heard at the time. Might sound a little bit different than Violence. Okay, and veterans will know what I'm talking about there, but it might sound a little different, but that's what I heard. It's like, okay, this is the younger siblings of what we knew to be the Bay Area. Now it's like, oh, it's all new metal. And I'm like, what? I don't think Korn when I play Machine Head. I don't think Korn or Limp Bizkit when I play Slayer or Sepultura and all that. I don't know. Maybe I'm just Maybe I'm just not as jaded as, like, the elitists are.
Well, we can work on that. But here's where the new metal argument comes in. So Korn was recording in a studio called Indigo Ranch in California. All analog, and that was part of the sound that they got, you know, was from the analog studio. But so Sepultura goes to do Roots in that studio, and so that's where Korn was kind of slagging them, like, oh yeah, they go and copy our sound and all that sort of stuff. Now the funny part about that is, like, because I heard the Korn records before I ever heard Roots, right? So I knew of Sepultura but never listened to them. So I heard the Korn records first, then heard Sepultura. I'm like, okay, I could see where this is coming from. They're saying they copy them. Then I heard Chaos AD, which came out before any of the Korn records. And I'm like, no, Roots is literally just an evolution you fuckers copied from Sepultura.
Yeah, isn't Sepultura before nu metal? Because when I think of Roots, I don't hear nu metal. I hear like the tribal influence that they were going for. That's what I hear.
But that's honestly a lot of what nu metal was. Like honestly, like the same kind of grooves that are on Roots was really the foundation of the nu metal stuff.
Well then, way to go, Max. You know, good or bad.
Hands down, you cannot deny that just Roots has some of the best fucking grooves.
It's a wicked album. It's a wicked man. Album. Like I'm still a Sepultura fan of every record. I don't have the latest one now that I think about it, but no, there's been over the years, all I've heard was no Max equals no Sepultura. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Like I dig Sepultura now. I still go see them every time they're in town. Every time Sepultura wants to be on Radioactive Metal, they're on. You know, like I'm still a fan, and I'm still a fan of Slayer, and I always will be. As a matter of fact, that's how I'm celebrating my birthday. Slayer's in town.
That's awesome. I'm gaining a bigger appreciation of Slayer, you know, every year. But that's all I got. What's up with you dudes?
Well, what you got, man?
Well, for me, been super busy with work, so yeah, I don't even remember the podcasts I listened to. I know I've listened to a ton of crap, but I guess nothing really caught my ear except for the rock and roll Twilight Zone again. This one, this week, they had the whole thing about Paul is dead from the Beatles. The whole controversy where people are saying that he died in the 60s and this is a doppelganger.
The walrus is Paul. Yes.
So that one definitely left a mark because I was listening to it. And I was like, God damn, some of these people are just so want to see stuff where there's nothing, you know?
Oh yeah, dude.
Yeah. It's a really fun listen, but you listen to them, some of the people he interviewed and you're like, God damn, You need to be put in a psych ward.
Yeah,
you should not be walking around the free world, you know. But anyway, so there's that. But the other thing really is, again, it's metal and it's wrestling related. Snowy, metal was all over WrestleMania weekend this weekend.
Mm-hmm. It was definitely.
Yeah, because first off, NXT TakeOver. You had the women's title match, and Amber Moon came out with Lizzie Hale playing her theme music.
Oh my God! How horns up was she? Holy shit!
Yeah, God, she trying to be Joan Jett now or what?
Well, you could make a really good case of Lizzie Hale as the new Joan Jett. You know, like for
I guess.
You know, like I've said it on this show for sure.
But the thing is that she's got the same hairdo now. So,
well,
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, when I see Lizzie Hale, I just think, you know, I hate myself for loving you. What?
Yeah.
Was that weird?
she's not a pretty woman. Let me just say that. But it
pretty
was
woman.
Yeah, but she fucking rips. What
is
it? Like
Lizzie Hale? I thought Lizzie Hale was pretty.
She wasn't for this.
I wouldn't kick her out of bed for eating crackers.
Crackers?
the theme this year for the show was by Cain Hill. I wasn't familiar with them. I guess they're one of these newer metal bands.
I have no idea who that was until this weekend. And then my buddy Ducky goes, oh, yeah, I saw them at Chicago Open Air. They were one of the first couple bands on. Like, they're whatever.
Yeah, they're like kind of like, you know, was it Agent Orange or no? Oh, no, the Orange Kids. What are they called?
Code Orange.
Code Orange, yeah. Yeah, they kind of reminded me of that a little bit, except the guitars were much heavier. I mean, just just the opening riff, there's just the guitars playing by himself, gong, 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 gong. I was like, whoa, he's down-tuned. Dude, this is awesome. You know? Then the vocalist comes in and he growls a little bit, but then he actually sings. And I just don't like that kind of singing. It's just, I don't know. But anyway, it was cool because it was a metal band, you know? And then,
well, that's Paul's influence, shall we say.
Yeah. So, and then the cool thing is that the titles, the NXT Championship and the NXT Women's Championship were both won. We have new champions. And Aaron, those champions are both legit metalheads.
That's what I'm talking about.
Legit, yeah. Legit, totally legit. And I've tried to get them both on the podcast before they signed with WWE, and I was never able to make it work. But Shayna Baszler became the women's champion, and you see her all the time on Instagram stuff wearing like bolt thrower t-shirts and, you know, stuff like that, you know. And then I've noticed a lot of what a lot of these celebrities like to do, the music that they're listening to, let's say they're training or whatever, they'll do a screenshot of it on their phone and then they'll put it in their Instagram story. So you'll see what they're listening to. And she's putting like Iron Maiden, Metallica. She's putting in like Bolt Thrower and Machine Head. And she's a big fan of Midnight.
That's my girl. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And all that. And then the guy that won the men's title is Aleister Black. And he's a black metal guy, totally black metal guy. When he posts his things, like half the bands that he posts, I've never heard of, you know. I'm like, holy shit. And it's, you know, then I'll look him up real quick. Yep, black metal, black metal, black metal. That's what he loves, you know. So that's really cool, you know, that they're actually giving the nod to those, those type of performers. Oh, and now that I think about it, Aleister Black was the guest on the Edge and Christian podcast. And he did talk about that, about being a metalhead and all that, and how when he got signed to NXT, Triple H asked him, so what do you want to do? What do you want to be? And he says, well, he says, I've always embraced metal and stuff. And he says, I want to be Motorhead. I want to be Iron Maiden. I want to be that guy, you know, the tattooed guy that people look at, you know, weird, but, you know, it show people that just because of the way I look doesn't mean I can't be successful at something. You know, and I kind of want to be like the example. It's like, yeah, you can have tattoos and stuff and have a successful career in anything you want. You know, so that was pretty inspiring what he had to say, you know. So
that's
that was
cool, man.
Yeah. And then on WrestleMania itself, Shinsuke Nakamura had his entrance played by Nita Strauss.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
She's badass. Oh, yeah. My gosh. She's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was out on the ramp and she's just shredding by herself. And then she goes into the Nakamura song, you know, and I was like, oh my God. And she's jumping and she's doing all this stuff. And it was really cool. It was pretty amazing. And for people who don't know, Nita Strauss is one of Alice Cooper's guitarists. So, and she's been doing the rounds on the podcast lately, because she has a solo album that she's putting out, and
right?
It's on Kickstarter, so I guess she's doing the rounds now, doing interviews for that and all that stuff. And I guess it was on Jericho's podcast, Snowy. I know you said you listened to it, but
I caught that. Yeah, on Jericho's and on what's her puss is there, Lillian Garcia's.
Yeah, and she kind of tells the same stories on all the podcasts because, you know, she hasn't been around that long. But one of the stories that she tells Snowy, I thought was pretty cool, is like when they did the walkthrough in the rehearsal, you know, the day of, you know, there's like an hour before the doors are opening. She said, you know, we went through it one time, and she said Vince McMahon comes up, says, oh, that was amazing, that was amazing. But I got one note for you. She's like, okay, what is it, sir? He says, okay, when the camera cuts from you and goes to Shinsuke, I want you to jump. And she's like, okay, when is that? Well, it's when the camera cuts from you to Shinsuke. And she's like, and she says, I'm thinking in my head, I don't have a monitor in front of me. I don't know when you're cutting to Shinsuke.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? Like, I'm doing something here, Vince. Fuck.
And he said it like 2-3 times, and she's like, okay, sir, I got you. And then he walked away and went to go do something else, you know. And she turned at the other people that were there. It's like, what am I doing?
When am I doing it?
Can someone please translate?
Yeah.
Fuck, man. So the older Vince McMahon gets, I swear to God.
Well, you know, so he's in his 70s now. So
I know, I can tell.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it was funny. She said they ran through it another couple of times, and then she knew exactly what to do and stuff. But yeah, it was badass to see that stuff. I mean, the heavy metal this weekend was pretty prominent on NXT on WWE TV.
Right on. Yeah, far and away, Strauss was the highlight of WrestleMania for me. For sure. Apart from hanging out with my friends and having a grand old time and all that, that's what it's really all.
What were you? Were you on? Were you with the Flintstones or what?
Why is that?
Oh my goodness!
We'll have a grand old time.
Oh shit!
They say gay old time. Yeah.
Yeah, close enough.
But that's a major subconscious shit going on right there.
Every time somebody says that, that's where my mind goes.
Okay, yeah.
At first I was like, was that Gilligan or was that, the Flintstones? Oh boy, I'm dating myself. All right, what do you got, dude?
Yeah. For myself, for my metal fix, actually, I don't have a whole hell of a lot myself.
You always say that.
Well, there's
45 minutes later.
If there's no live show that I checked out, which that's going to be remedied next week, I'm kind of always, I don't know. But first and foremost, I want to get this out here right now. Excuse me. Our buddies in Gruesome dropped a new track, Waste of Life. Oh, I fucking love this band, obviously. They're going to be putting out a new record later on, Twisted Prayers, June 1st.
You know,
so everyone jump on YouTube and, you know, check that out.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I have a funny story about Gruesome. I got to share it before I forget. This week, Gruesome, well, Robin Mazin invited me to go see Gruesome in July here in Orlando. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So I go look, and it's both Exhumed and Gruesome playing. So that means Matt Harvey is doing double duty that night, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, wow, I guess they're doing a tour and all that. So I start looking at the dates, and it's they're only doing like two shows in North America, and then they're going over to Europe for a tour there. So these are two warm-up shows, one in Tampa and one in Orlando. So when I saw this, okay, I was at lunch with my wrestling buddy from work, you know, who I go see all the shows, and he's not a metalhead, okay? So we're just sitting there, you know, we're having lunch, and I see a thing pop up. It's like, oh, wow. I have to tell him, say, oh, wow, there's a cool concert coming up this summer. I have to go see this. And he goes, oh, well, what is it? I said, Exhumed and Gruesome. And then he looks at me, he's like, wow, that's quite the band name. I'm like, no, that's two bands. And I'm thinking, it's like, yeah, that is a cool name.
That is, yeah. That
Exhumed and Gruesome. Because it would be kind of gruesome once you exhume something, right?
that would be pretty gruesome, yeah.
So yeah, I just want to share that because I thought that was really funny. It's crazy. He looks at me like, well, that's kind of a harsh name or something like that. It's like, no, it's two bands. Yeah. Anyway.
Normies are so entertaining.
Sometimes they are.
Don't you just love playing with their heads? It's awesome. Yeah. For myself, I got a pretty cool record. Came across my desk, but I'll get to that in a second. Last episode or the time before that, I mentioned the Metal Podcast Collective Facebook page I kind of signed us up on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the moderator for that, his own podcast is called Are You Morbid? Okay, it's Zach Dom. And Ian, and it's just basically three guys that really get to the heart of the matter of the whole metal world. And I'm going through their episodes on this podcast, and it's like, okay, where do I want to start? Because I'm just hearing about this now. And so I went, you know, three, four episodes in or down the list, and okay, their episode, The Black Metal Grab Bag. It's like, okay, here, maybe I'll start here. and I download it, and it's 4 hours.
Oh, Jesus.
Holy jeez. It's like, okay, you guys better wow me, okay? you know. And they did, and they did. What they did with this is they went to the early beginnings of some of the major black metal bands from yesteryear, you know, Merciful Fate, Beharit, Bathory, Hellhammer, Sarcophago, however you want to pronounce that. I've heard 800 different variations of it. And they basically get into the bio of these bands from the early days, and they had me going. They had me going all 4 hours. And you know, the episode after that, they're going to get into the more modern black metal. But it's like, guys, you just had me for 4 hours. Give me a week to to do something else. Yeah. But they had me. They had me. So hello and horns up to Zach and his buddies. Please check out the Are You Morbid podcast. AreYouMorbidPod.com. It's a fantastic listen. Just some other cool records I was given a spin. The new Destroyer 666 EP, Call of the Wild. That's really good. And Hammer's Unholy Destruction. Hammer without the E. It's a really, really cool band. Yeah. Really cool band out of Cleveland, signed on to Hell's Headbangers. That if you like Nunslaughter, if you like Abigail, like that type of groovy thrash, but kind of in a rocky way and all that, you'll really dig them. I know I certainly did. And before I get to a track that I want to drop, I hate to say it, but I was at the newsstand earlier just this morning, because I was going to buy, you know, because I go and I still hit the newsstands to buy magazines. Picked up the new Disciple. I was looking around at all the other ones. And I went to find what I believe was going to be the new Revolver. And it was gone.
Oh, the horror.
It actually is, because this is now the end of an era for me. Because I kid you not, I swear on my child's eyes, I have not missed an issue of Revolver from the very start 12 years ago all the way up until this month.
And there's just nowhere else in town where you can find it?
I don't know. I don't know if they're all off the shelves now, if I slept on it, and is it too late? I don't know. But as I know it right now, this is it. It's the end of an era, and I don't know.
I think it might be okay, Snowy. The last one that I what's the last one you got? Was it the one with Halford on the cover?
With Dillinger.
Dillinger? Oh, so Wason, you didn't get the one with Halford?
No, with I have them here.
You got to remember, they get them a little later up in Canada.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think you've got time, because I just got one in the mail, like the newest one. I can't remember who's on the cover.
No, maybe. No, I think
you're all right.
I got Dillinger Escape Plan on the cover, but there's a Judas Priest article.
What else is in it?
Knock Loose, Old Wounds, Radon, Max Cavalera, Tooth Grinder. And the Dillinger Escape Plan is on the cover.
Is it just the two guys? Or is it the whole band?
Yeah, it's just two guys on stage.
I think you're fine. I don't think you missed anything yet.
Maybe they're just kind of in that, you know, in that period, which honestly, it's like, okay, this is kind of the end of an era, but I wasn't crying too many tears, actually, because like since the start of the new year, they kind of changed, like Revolver kind of changed up the format.
Yeah, it hasn't been the same.
Yeah, it's kind of looking just like Spin or Rolling Stone and all that. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Revolver had their own – excuse me. They had their own layout, and it looked really cool, and I really dug that. And I don't know. The content this year just really hasn't been cutting it for me. So it's like I stood there in front of the in front of the news rack, and I'm like,
on his knees, cursing the gods.
Weeping
uncontrollably.
Yeah. Well, it was the same thing with Metal Maniacs. Like, I had every issue all the way up until, like, it started to die down. And then all of a sudden, where I was getting my issue regularly, they stopped getting it. And then I was like, what do you mean I missed last month? What the fuck? Oh, and then it died. And then I found out just a little while ago why I haven't seen Terrorizer on the racks in the longest time, because apparently they closed down shop almost a year ago and never told anyone. I don't know if you guys saw this in the news or whatever, but I noticed I haven't seen a Terror, like I wasn't buying Terrorizer every month. So it really wasn't bothering me because it is from the UK, and sometimes an issue of Metal Hammer or an issue of Terrorizer, that's the price of a CD.
Oh yeah.
You know, so I don't buy Metal Hammer. Metal Hammer has to really impress me in order for me to buy it now. Terrorizer was kind of hit and miss. I bought it when I could and all that. And then it just kind of disappeared, and I never really gave it much thought, you know. I haven't really seen it very much. Like, what's going on? Apparently, Terrorizer folded up camp almost a year ago and never told anyone. There's been no refund on subscriptions. There's just – it, like, caused a real stink in the underground.
Wow. I can't believe they didn't tell you first.
Some bad business ethically, those magazines, like Iron Fist is fucking amazing. I'll pay whatever they want for that one because they get into the underground as well as all the cool, more mainstream acts as well. I'll pay, you know, the import price for that. But I look at some of these other ones. Oh my God, like Classic Rock and Rock Candy and all these. It's like, fuck, man. Some of these are pushing $20.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. $20 feeds Mrs. White and I for like 2 days.
Yep. No, it's crazy.
You know, like, you guys got to give me something more than this. So, yeah, I'm going to be sticking with Disciple, definitely. Zero Tolerance is a good magazine. It gets into the brutal death in black metal, that, and you know, they have the bonus CD and all that, so that's really worth it. So I think I'm gonna be sticking with those. If this is the end of an era for me and Revolver, okay, that would be kind of too bad though. Really cool record across my desk, and I want to drop a track now and get on with the grunt here. Verathron, their new record, is going to be available April 27th. The Patriarchs of Evil. Verathron, I don't know if you guys, this band rings a bell, but they actually go back to the late 80s, and they've been doing a number on the brutal underground scene ever since then. And it's like, it's taken us this long? 502 episodes to mention this band? Holy shit. Perfect time, because like I said, this record came across my desk. I was cranking it today. Great stuff. And I want to drop a track from that. And you know what? The second you mentioned that, like, I knew Aleister Black was like the metal guy, mm-hmm, and all that. When you specifically said he was black metal, I said, okay, you know what? We got to send the new Verathron song Into the Absurd out to Mr. Aleister Black. Check it out. A new era here at Radioactive Metal with our recent 500 episodes that came out just a couple weeks ago. And we started this new era off with, you know, a really cool, brutal, upcoming Young Gun band in Skeletal Remains last year. This week, we're going to go to the opposite end of this sort of the opposite end of the spectrum, and go with, a veteran, shall we say, if not a downright legend, not just in the metal world, but the hardcore and punk world as well. Like, when you really think about it, I'm sure the majority of our listeners, you know, and I know our demographic, for some reason, seems to be like older guys our age, maybe a little bit younger and all that, that are totally into the metal. And they will know one Ross the Boss from, you know, the heyday years of the Mighty Manowar. Some more discerning fans, and maybe some more, you know, that kind of veer off into the punk and hardcore world, we'll remember one Ross the Boss first starting up a band, a little band, and I know Aaron knows who this is.
Sure do.
A band called The Dictators. So it's when we had a chance to get a bucket list artist like Ross the Boss on, we definitely had to jump all over it, particularly with his new record, his new solo record, shall we say, by Bloodsworn, is available actually now. Once again, our interviews seem to be falling on the days when our interview subjects, their new releases just happen to be hitting the racks. So once you are done listening to this particular episode, run, don't walk to your record store and be sure to pick up the new solo record from one Ross the Boss. But like I said, stick around because we had a bucket list, very, very cool chat with one Ross the Boss. And to get us there, how about the first single? The first single off of said record. This is Vengeance.
Dominate, death or create. We'll be right back.
First and foremost, I kind of want to start off for like the obvious reason as to why we're sitting down here right now. April 20th, I believe, new record by Bloodsworn. You must be pretty excited now. Here's your chance to tell everyone just why they should be picking this up.
Well, you know, just looking at it from the outside, I would say that this, if you're into power metal, if you're into old school, plus you know, bits of new school, if you're into really good, well-crafted songs with melody and brutality and hooks and metal hooks and guitar solos, this is the record for you. This record has been done in the old school style. It's not a computer drum test record like most of the music that you've been hearing today on you know, as you listen to metal. Computers did not create the drum tracks, did not create any of the other tracks for that matter. Everything was done organically, and I think it sounds great, and I think you'll all like it. And I would recommend it to you greatly.
No doubt. And yeah, to accompany this interview, we're definitely going to drop a track just to kind of give everyone a taste, but kind of in advance. I'm sure probably the majority of our listeners would be like, oh yeah, Ross the Boss from Manowar, although that was quite a long time ago. What can maybe someone who's just the Manowar fan, Joe, average Manowar fan, what can they expect from this in terms of that? Is there anything different? Like anything that you might be bringing to the table?
Well, you know that my writing style, and you've known those six, any Manowar fan knows those first six records. My writing style is obvious, and it's apparent on the new record by Bloodsworn. I'm not the mm-hmm. only songwriter on it. I had a lot of help from Mike LaPond and Mark Lopes, but there are a lot of Manowar-isms on the record. I mean, I that's just the way I write. And on the Digipak version of the CD, we have three bonus tracks that we redid three old Manowar songs, Hail and Kill, Each Dawn I Die in the Oath, and they're done to my perfection, and I think everybody will love that. Mark did an amazing job, a respectful, amazing job on Eric Adams' stuff. It's not an easy task to sing, mm-hmm. you know, one of the greatest metal singers of all time's vocals, but he's really stepped up to the plate and did an amazing job, and while retaining his own identity, and that's what he's done on the whole record.
Right on. Good to hear that. Which kind of sort of brings me to my next question then. Like, you've been without Manowar, shall we say, like more longer now than you have been with them. But do you still get a lot of, you know, Ross the Boss, the ex-Manowar? Like, do you still get that? And what's your reaction if you see it?
Well, of course. I mean, you know, when you've invented an iconic band, you know, I get it all the time. I get that with the Dictators too, because I invented that one too, in the punk thing. You know, so I get it a lot. I mean, I'm proud of it. You know, you know, I'm proud that the fact that I'm going out, we're going out, and we're playing these songs that you know, that have been released 1982 to 1988. I mean, it's a great thing. It is a great thing, and we're really proud to do it. And we're branching out now. We're adding new songs to our set, but people want to hear the old stuff, and they're gonna.
Right on. You mentioned the Dictators, and we're talking about Manowar here as well. And you kind of epitomized both. Like both genres just throughout your career, and no artist likes labels and all that, but if like, are you a metalhead or are you a punk? Because me personally, I think I'm both, but what about you? If you had to label yourself, sorry.
If I had to label myself, I am a rock and roll guitar player. I'm a blues rock and roll guitar player. That's how I started out as, And I would say that to any young guitar player coming up now, you would benefit greatly by learning the blues, by stepping back and learning and going back to see where all this music started. I am a blues rock, hard rock guitar player. I mean, I do love metal, you know. The same as guys like Tony Iommi, Angus Young, who's my contemporary and my friend. You know, it just, you got to go back to that. That's, you know, Eddie Van Halen, you know, they all started in the same spot. I think it's important. And, you know, my roots are my roots, you know, Peter Townsend, mm-hmm. you know, Jimmy Page, Jeff Beck, Jimi Hendrix, B.B. King, Muddy Waters, guys like that, you know, the real right. players, you know. And, you know, I have nothing against today's shred thing, but that, you know, I could do without it personally. There are a couple of great guitar players that I really love, Yngwie, Steve Vai, Joe Satriani, guys like that. But I think that the whole thing has been watered down. This whole thing on technical speed and all that, I find it boring. I mean, I could listen to maybe 2 minutes of it and then that's it. But right. I mean, if you give, you know, like Angus Young, I could listen to him all day.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, for sure. And we have.
Yes, that's right. And we continue to do so. But, you know, Rick Nielsen and Cheap Trick. I mean, there's a lot of guys. Buck Dharma, Blue Oyster Cult. So many guys. The guys in Lynyrd Skynyrd. So many great guitar players have their roots in the blues. And I am one of them.
Right on. There's valuable life lessons right there for musicians.
I'm not saying for the young guys, the young folks to become a blues guitar player. If that is great, if you would, because you know there are plenty of young kids playing blues now. I've seen them on YouTube. They're fantastic. But just investigate where all this music came from, where Chuck Berry came from, where you know, Freddie King, Albert King, where all these greats were originated from. Why are they great? You know, and why is this music still being reflected in 2018, you know.
Don't forget your roots.
That's right, where it came from. So, but it's a great honor to play music for me. I'm telling you, you know.
No doubt. When you first started, when that first record first came out, like, did you ever think, oh my God, like, I guess it's almost 40 years later. Are you surprised you're here doing it?
Which record, The Dictators?
Or even longer. The very first time, yet you put out a record, like,
that was
you
1975.
Okay, right. So, did you think back then, you know, in 2018, you would still be doing this?
I honestly had no idea. I couldn't perceive that much time gone by in my career. I mean, I and the fact is, we just stopped. The Dictators NYC just stopped playing last fall, and we were still doing some of those songs from 1975, you know. And people were loving them in Europe and all over the place. So, I you know, and the fact that album is sitting in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame right now is I mean, I couldn't have imagined that would have happened.
Right, especially. I guess at that time in the 70s, like, this was even, yeah, punk, I guess, was just starting, but the music scene was, like, the mainstream was very different back then.
Oh, you guys, completely.
You guys must have been really ruffling some feathers back then.
Oh, boy, they had no idea. CBS had no idea what they signed. But we were 1 year, we predated the Ramones by 1 year, one mm-hmm. complete year. And, you know, they obviously took a lot, you know. They're our buddies. We love them to death. And they took a lot from the Dictators. And they'll tell you. You know, they will tell you. If they were alive, they would tell you. But everyone knows.
Right. No doubt. Has Manowar ever played CBGBs?
Manowar never played CBGBs. The Dictators played CBGBs 35 times.
Right.
We played the last weekend that they were open, and we had the last punk rock metal rock shows with the Dictators Friday and Saturday, and tearfully we said goodbye on that Saturday night. And but there's an interesting story about the Dictators and AC/DC. Back in '77, we were headlining the Palladium, which is up the block, up a couple of streets on 14th Street,
right.
Palladium, right? And we had this band from Australia. We didn't know any much about them, and they were called AC/DC. So they were opening for us at the Palladium. Yeah, and they were amazing. We couldn't believe what we saw. You know, we kind of fell in love with them at first sight, and then they packed up. They were so cool. They packed up all their stuff, and they went to CBGB's and played another show. So,
nice.
Yeah, they played two shows, and they would say they would do three shows a day in Australia at times in the beginning. So they packed their stuff up and played a set at CBGB's, and the pictures are still there. You know, anyone can see those pictures from that night. So that's it. And then 2 days later, we opened for them in Cleveland at the Cleveland Agora. And after that, they never opened up for us again.
No, I guess not.
Something happened.
Yeah. But good on them. Good on them. Yeah, I was.
Absolutely.
You've got a couple years on me, but I was a young one too when I first discovered AC/DC, obviously. And yeah, I'm kind of hooked from the start. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. With all of this that you're sharing with me today, all that, it kind of makes me think, when you hear like the legendary Dictators, the legendary Ross the Boss and all that, what's your reaction to that? What's your initial gut reaction?
Well, it's an honor for people to say that. I view it as, well, I mean, theoretically, if you look at it, you know, I was involved in the creation of two genres of music. And right there at, you know, ground zero. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'd rather just, you know, forget the legendary part. I mean, I'm just a guitar player from New York City. But people, you know, after 30 records and, you know, all this music and 30, you know, it just people tend to lay, you know, titles on people. So it's a great honor. I mean, I'm not gonna. What am I gonna argue that? I mean, if you really think about it, it's kind of true. But I mean, you know, I've done. You know, but the thing is about me. What really is my thing is that I'm a workaholic, and that I never stop. I never stop working. I work 7 days a week. I'm like, I don't take vacations. I view my vacations as my shows. You know. Mm-hmm. Where I'm on stage and I'm in heaven when I'm playing, to me that's the greatest thing that I could be doing, and that makes me feel better than sitting on a stupid beach with sand and you know
sunburn.
Sunburn, I hate it. You know, I you know, and like you know, my friend, why don't you go to vacation? I said, I don't want to go to a hotel. I spend my life in hotels. I hate hotels. I mean, why would I want to go to a hotel? I mean, you know, it's like, what are you nuts? I mean, it's just, no. No. Why don't you go sightseeing?
Sightseeing? I toured the world.
I go to every city in the world. I'm there all over. Then everyone goes, did you sightsee? I go, yeah, I sightseed my hotel room, my bed. They said, yeah, that's what I sightsaw. You know, I was like, please, give me a break. I mean, I don't want to go, you know. So it's funny. My vacations are my shows, and, you know, music is everything to me. And so... That's why there's 30 records, is because I'm a freaking machine and I don't stop.
Right on. And we're grateful for all that you've given to us over these years. Speaking about being all over the world, I'm in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada.
Uh-huh.
The key word here being Manitoba.
Yes.
So you don't gotta be a mind reader to see where I'm going with this. I remember way back when there was a little band came out called Manitoba's Wild Kingdom that definitely caught my attention. for obvious reasons. Maybe for our younger listeners that might not remember that. Maybe we can share a little something about exactly what Manitoba's Wild Kingdom was.
Okay, that's a great story. The Dictators, well, after 78, the Dictators called it, put a hiatus on things, and that's when I got hired by Shaken Street to join the band. And so it was a French band, and managed by my manager, the Dictators' manager, and BOC's manager, and at the time Black Sabbath's manager. So I found myself in England opening up to Shaker Street was opening up the shows for Black Sabbath and Ronnie Dio. So Ronnie Dio said, "Ross, woo-hoo, I really like your stuff," and he's the most sweet man in the world next to Joey Ramone. And he's like, "You got to go meet this guy Joey on your crew, on our crew. He plays bass." And I said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." He says, "I'm doing it." "Yeah, this guy? Yes. No problem." Mm-hmm. And I go meet Joey. And, you know, as the days went on, we conspired to form a band. And we came off the road and I wrote songs. I had my friend at EMI, blah, 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 blah. Eventually, we got signed to EMI. And there was a band called Manowar. So I was in Manowar from, let's say, 1980 to 1988, and then after 98, the Dictators, Andy and Richard, had a band called Manitoba's Wild Kingdom without me. So then all of a sudden they're looking for a guitar player, and I'm saying, well, who else would be playing guitar there but me? I mean, come on. So they get me in the band, and we had this band, Manitoba's Wild Kingdom, and we put out this record, Manitoba's Wild Kingdom and You, in 1990, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And that's when we had the song The Party Starts Now, and it was really pretty close to a national hit. And we did a bunch of touring, and we toured Canada. We toured Western Canada. And you don't know that, but Handsome Dick Manitoba is Canada's greatest athlete. You do know that, right?
His greatest athlete.
He's the greatest. He's Canada's greatest athlete. That's what was our thing. We were saying to everybody, and people were believing it.
I think Wayne Gretzky or Bret Hart might have something to say about
they might,
that.
Yeah, that might have. Yeah, some of your wrestlers. Yeah, yeah. So I mean, but it's like it was so funny, but it was so cool. People would think, you know, and on his wrestling outfit on the first record, there's a map of Manitoba on his sequin wrestling jacket. And it's like, what the fuck are you guys doing? I said, you know, this is, you'd have to understand it. You got to, like, be cool. So all the cools understood it. And to this day, they still understand it. And but the record was fantastic. The record, Manitoba's Wild Kingdom on MCA, was mixed by this guy, Andy Wallace. And Andy Wallace's next record was by this band called Nirvana, and the record was called Nevermind. And so the next record after Andy Wallace was after ours was like some record that changed the music business again. So
kind of in a roundabout way, you kind of had a hand in that as well. Sort of, you know, maybe.
I guess. I don't know. Andy's a great guy. He did a great job on Manitoba's Wild Kingdom. People love that record. It's a great record, great guitar, great guitar sound on it. I mean, it's a killer. The 2-minute songs on it, it's like tremendous.
And it's something to tell the grandkids.
Well, it's something to listen to if you really want to, you know.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, yeah. Okay, and there's also something, is there any connection? You seem to be connected to another project just called Manitoba. I'm sorry, I didn't do my research with that. Is there a connection?
There is, but what it was is the Dictators, we changed our name because we want to establish, we weren't the old Dictators again, but we changed our name back to Dictators NYC, so, and now that's how we left it. Not much of that.
Yeah. Okay. And you've also mentioned the Party Starts Now. How often do you get a chance to play? Like you said, it almost became a national hit. How often do you get a chance to play that? Like, do you do it solo? Do you do it with the Dictators?
That was part of the Dictators set, the Dictators NYC set, forever. And we just, as I said, we just broke up last November. So it was in our set every year. We toured Europe like that for 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right on. Right on. Mm-hmm. Right on. And before I give you a chance to promote what you're doing with this new record some more, I have to ask you this question because I've probably been waiting about 30 years to ask you this. Where does the nickname The Boss come from? What's the origins behind that?
Well, it was from my childhood growing up in the Bronx, and we would play, you know, we would play pick-me-up stickball, you know, every day in the schoolyard. And then one day my friend goes, all right, I won this toss. And my friend goes, oh, pick Ross, he's the boss. And it was like, you know, okay, pick him. All right, so that's how that started. And then, you know, because with the Dictators, we were like four Jewish kids from the Bronx and Queens. I go, like, we can't have these names, Ross Friedman, Richard Blome, Scott. I mean, come on. That's like, we can't have this. We have to like, have really cool names, man. So we got Ross the Boy. You know, I said, why don't I just be Ross the Boss? Ross the Boss. And then Handsome Dick Manitoba. And then Top 10. And then Andy Chernoff. We just changed the name to Adney, you know, A-D-N-Y, just to be, you know, just to do that. So just because we were a sarcastic bunch of assholes, you know, so.
Yeah. But you created a legacy off that. So, hey, can't go wrong with that.
Sure did.
Do you still follow them?
What's that?
Oh, do you still follow the New York scene?
Well, there is none. So, well, I mean, there are bands still playing around, but the New York scene is, as you know it, it's not around anymore. I mean, all the major clubs have closed, except Barry Electric. The Barry Electric is fantastic. And they're still going.
Okay, sorry. Finally, I'll let you get on with your day, but let's give you a chance to get out there how you're going to be promoting this record. I believe you guys have done some live dates in the U.S. Are you hitting the road elsewhere?
Yeah, we just did 15 shows in the Northeast, Midwest last week. We came off the road last Monday, and we're preparing to go to Europe next Wednesday. We're going to play one show in Germany. Then we're going to do the Wacken boat cruise for 3 days, and that's going to be a blast. Oh, wow. And then we got five more shows. We have one in Italy, one in Netherlands, one in Czech Republic, like five or six shows. Then we fly to Australia. We're playing four shows in Australia, which pretty much is all sold out. Brisbane, Adelaide, Sydney, and Melbourne. And would be the first time any Manowar set foot on Australian ground. Manowar has never played Australia, and so I'm going. The Ross the Boss Band, we will annihilate that place. And after Australia, we come back off the road. We got a few weeks off, and then the festival season will start in Europe. We have a bunch of stuff to do. And our major tour will start in October, November. And in Europe.
Right on.
So that's when the results of the album will take effect, hopefully.
Right on. Sounds like you're going to be busy. And just one final thing. There was always an expression, other bands play, Manowar kill. Who coined that phrase?
Well, that wouldn't be me. That was Joey DeMeo. Also, the Death to False Metal nonsense. He did that one and that other one. Other bands play Manowar kills. You know, listen, there's something to be said about that, but, you know, let the fans talk. Let the fans tell you what you are. That's what I always say. So, what can I say?
If you're not tuned in to The Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
You guys suck. You suck, you suck, you suck. You suck, you suck, you suck. You guys suck. Duck, 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 duck.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantvmradio.com. It's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Available right now, courtesy of AFM Records, Ross the Boss's By Blood Sworn. As I said, go out and check it out, man. Oh. Just doing that interview with him and all that, and I have to admit, like, hailing from Manitoba. I had to talk to him about Manitoba's Wild Kingdom. That was definitely a personal moment for me. And just talking about, like, the name Ross the Boss, and like we know Bruce Springsteen and all that, but it's like that can't be the same thing. He definitely did not wake up one day and say, I'm a big Bruce Springsteen fan, so I want to be called the Boss too, and all that. There is no way that could possibly be, that could be the case. So I had to run that by him. I had to know. And where he got the name The Boss, I swear to God, is more than 30 years in the waiting for me, shall we say. So when I had the chance, I had to jump all over that. So thank you.
Always cool when you get to ask somebody a question, somebody like him, where a question that you've been dying to ask him for so long, and you finally get your answer.
Yeah, and you've been reading shit for literally decades, and no one asks him this.
Yeah.
Like, nowhere, yeah. No fancy, no magazine, not on the Power Hour, not on, no one. No one says, hey, Ross, like, where'd you get that name from?
Yeah.
Because everyone just assumes, he's a Bruce Springsteen fan. Fuck that.
I never thought that.
I never thought that in my life, but he's a badass guitarist. That's why I thought he was the boss. because he's just a badass, man. I love that guy.
And what I love is, like I said, is some of the cool shit that he also did beyond Manowar. So if you guys don't mind, I found a really cool live track of the Dictators going back to 1997, playing a live show at Coney Island High, doing Manitoba Wild Kingdoms, the Party Starts Now. Oh, I fucking love that.
I love that tune.
If we could go out with that, that would be awesome. I managed to survive a night with you two without Corrine. I didn't know, when she said she wasn't going to be able to make it, I'm like, I don't know, can I hang out with these old guys without her?
I mean, we've had support on standby for you, just in case. But you did pretty good,
Right.
I had the defibrillator handy, in case you needed it.
Yep, just in case. We were ready. If you flatlined, we were prepared.
Okay.
Rock and I went over emergency procedures. We've been practicing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right on. I am a little disappointed in you two, though, because at the beginning of the episode, I referred to, this is episode 502.
Yeah, 502, the So Far So Good So What reference.
Okay, no one said anything about that, okay.
Well, it's because we immediately went into busting your balls about Metallica.
Okay, well, you see.
Which is honestly even funnier, given the rivalry that would have been going on at that era between that album and Metallica. Like that's, honestly, it was perfectly timed.
Or it's just indicative that maybe you need to expand yourself beyond Metallica.
Rock started it, brother.
In the meantime, in the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been a Pull Over Shithead. This is the Cops episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
And apparently, I'm always wrong. Peace out, metalheads.
Signing off.
Just for the record, I hate the song 502.
One time I picked up Art Garfunkel in my cab, and he told me, Art Garfunkel told me this. He said, rock and roll used to be a music to dance to fuck to. Art Garfunkel told me this.
Check, one, two, hey.
Dance to it, fuck to it. It's the rhythm of the streets. Well, we're the Dictators. We're from New York City. We play rock and roll, and the party starts now. Stop that waiting. Some weight, you might get laid. I can't take living 9 to 5. I can't find a reason to come alive. Go
us at radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on purerockradio.net. You can listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to radioactivemetal.org or clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321 80 Heavy or 321 804 3289. We will play it on the show. For suggestions and indie spotlight submissions, email us at radmetal666@gmail.com. Follow us at facebook.com radmetal, twitter.com radmetal666, and Instagram Radioactive Metal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal, this is radioactive metal.
The party starts now! The party starts now!